The passage of Scripture this morning is perhaps, it's both familiar and perhaps a little bit distant. It's a prescribed passage this week for those who are following the lectionary. The lectionary, if you're not familiar with that term, is a cycle of reading or preaching through the Bible. And so the Revised Common Lectionary is built around the church year. Church year would start the first Sunday of Advent, and it would begin. It ends with the last Christ the King Sunday, which would be in November. So it begins in December and runs through November, in a sense. But each week there is an Old Testament passage, a psalm, a New Testament passage, and a gospel reading. And it's split into three different years. 1 year is Matthew, 1 year is Mark, 1 year is Luke, and then John is scattered in between all three. And so theoretically, if a pastor was preaching through the lectionary, he or she would preach through the entire Bible every 3 years. Now, I've never been a lectionary pastor, a lectionary preacher. I didn't grow up in that kind of tradition. And not that there's anything wrong with that. You know, actually, for the last 5 months, I have been following the lectionary. I've been preaching out of the lectionary text. And so rather than choosing a passage to preach on, I'm preaching on the prescribed passage, the passage that has been chosen for us. So the lectionary passage for us today is found in John chapter 3, 14 through 20. And so let us read that now. Now, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and that people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And so today's scripture is John 3:16, probably the best known passage of scripture ever. You know, Psalm 23 might come into a close second, but John 3:16 is a passage most everybody has heard in one form or another. You know, it's a beautiful sediment of God, how God loves us. How God has given everything, God has given what is most precious in order that we might have a relationship with him. But also connected to this passage of Scripture is another portion of Scripture that I would imagine isn't as well known as John 3:16, and that's John 3:14 and 15. And it says, you know, just as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him would have eternal life. Now, these two verses refer back to an Old Testament scripture that is kind of out of the ordinary, to say the least. And so it's Numbers chapter 21, and I'm going to kind of sum this up for us this morning. So the nation of Israel is traveling through the desert, right? They have escaped Egypt. You know, they've walked through the Red Sea. Now they're wandering in the desert for 40 years. And a Canaanite king heard that this wandering group of folks were heading his way, and so he attacks, and he takes a bunch of people hostage. And so as a people, as a whole, right, they cry out to God, and they go, God, help, help us! And so God enables the Israelites to conquer King Arad. And so after God protects the nation and allows them or helps them to overcome their enemies, they did what they often did, right? They grumbled. God, why did you bring us out here in the desert to die? Right? Remember, these folks were recently slaves in Egypt. And now they're complaining that they had been set free because they were not in a place where they really wanted to be. God, why did you bring us to a place where there's no food and no water? You know, parents, you know, you probably have heard something similar, right? You come home from grocery shopping, you put everything away, only to have your son or daughter come walking into the kitchen and be like, there's nothing at all to eat in this house. It's kind of like that. Because, you know, as they walk through the desert, God provided them with food every day. God provided them with manna. God often would provide them with quail. God often also would give them water, right? Moses would walk up to a rock and smack it with a stick and water would pour forth. So as a result of God's people's ungratefulness, poisonous snakes were sent to, among the people. And the snakes, they bite some people and some people die. And so the Israelites do what they always do after they, you know, God rescues them and they grumble. And so they cry out to God for help. Only they don't cry out to God, they cry out to Moses because they know they've done wrong by God, right? And they even tell Moses, Moses, please help us. We have sinned against God. We have grumbled. We have complained when we shouldn't. Please help us. Moses, we know you and God are tight, so talk to God on our behalf. And so Moses does that. Moses talks to God, and God says, okay, Moses, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take a bronze serpent, right? Craft a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and I want you to hold it up there in front of the people so that anybody who would look upon that bronze serpent that you're holding up, they would live. And whoever doesn't want to look at the bronze serpent would die. Definitely not your average, ordinary Sunday school lesson, right? I mean, this is kind of out there. In fact, one commentator that I read, he simply put, this makes no sense, right? Because it is an odd passage, and it really doesn't make a lot of sense until you read the New Testament, until you read John 3:16. And yet, you know, I believe we do the same thing kind of every day. Now, it may not be a bronze serpent that we hold up, but we hold up lots of things as if these are what's going to, you know, if we look at them, this is what's going to make us happy. This is what's going to make us successful. This is what's going to give us hope, right? We're used to looking up at these things and saying, yes, this is what I'm after. This is what I want. And going back to John chapter 3, Nicodemus is this, you know, he's an intelligent man. He's well known. He's revered in his community. And now he's coming to see Jesus in the middle of the night, because he doesn't want to be seen with Jesus. He's worried about being associated with Jesus. Why? I think Nicodemus thinks that he's got a lot to lose, right? He's been holding up. He's been looking at what he thought was the right way to live. Now, Nicodemus, he worked hard. He studied hard. He got to a place of prominence in his community. And so for him to come to Jesus, kind of crazy. Right? This well-known Pharisee coming to see, coming to learn from this wandering rabbi. And Jesus challenges Nicodemus to see the world through God's eyes. You know, for generations, God's people were saved from some terrible situation and then only to turn on God. And then they would cry out to God because they'd have to go through something terrible again, and God would save them. And then they would grumble, and God would have to, something bad would happen, and they'd have to cry. You know, it was just this terrible cycle. And God would send prophets to them to proclaim God's love to them. You know, some of these prophets were run off. Some of them were killed. Now, God has sent his most precious possession, right? He sent his one and only Son, right? God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world. God sent the Son into the world to save the world. You know, just as Moses had told the people who were suffering and lost in the desert, you know, Jesus told Nicodemus, look at what is being held up before you. Look, and you will be saved. You know, look at me, Nicodemus. I am the Son of God sent into the world to save the world, to save everyone who would choose to believe. Nicodemus, don't believe in your works. Don't trust your righteousness, Nicodemus. Trust in me. And the people in the desert from Numbers 21, they had a choice to make. Right? They could look upon that bronze snake on the pole and be saved, or they could do it their own way and die. John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you have a choice to make. Nicodemus, you can look at the sun and be saved, or you can do it your own way and die. Now, I know Jesus is just hoping, you know, Nicodemus, choose me. Look at me, Nicodemus, and have life. As I've been reflecting upon this passage and why it was selected for this season of Lent, you know, Lent is that time for us to peer within. It invites us to be introspective. It invites us to look and hold up our lives in the light of Jesus to see how it is we are living and how it compares. And I believe both these passages, both Numbers 21 and John 3, are inviting us to do that. Right? To pause in the midst of the busyness of our lives and to review what it is that we have been holding up. What it is that we're looking towards for help. In the Numbers passage, the people who had been rescued from Egypt, and people who had had their needs cared for while walking in the desert, they had a lot of resentment for some reason towards God. And if we were to put words to their feelings, right, they were probably holding up signs like, you know, God, I'm angry at you. God, I don't want to be in the desert. God, it's very dusty here. God, I don't know if I can really trust you. Even though God had provided them with food and water. Even though this is the same God they saw give those 10 plagues to Egypt. Even though they saw the Red Sea being split in two as they walked through on dry ground. Even though they saw God lead them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, they still were not satisfied. God was walking with them every step of the way, and yet what they were holding up was their own selfish self-interests. That's what they were looking towards. And then they were confronted with the truth, and they had to make a choice. Right? Look at that bronze serpent and live, or do it your own way and die. Yeah, to what are you going to look at? John 3, Jesus and Nicodemus are talking. Jesus shares that same story but inserts himself into it. Nicodemus, Jesus asks, what are you going to look at? Nicodemus, if you're going to hold something up, what is it going to be? Is it going to be your reputation? Is it going to be your comfort? And Nicodemus, look it to me. You know, there's a passage in Isaiah that says this, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. You know, don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at your wants. Don't look at what your neighbor has, but look to God. Look to Jesus. In just a moment, we're going to sing our final song this morning. Lift high the cross, or When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. But before we get to that point, I want you to take that white card that is sitting nearby, in front of you, behind you. Now take that card and ask God to show you what it is that you have been holding up. What have you been looking to for your help? You know, maybe what you've been experiencing has been loneliness. Maybe it's envy. Maybe it's a lack of trust in God. And maybe it's just you. Maybe you are looking to yourself. You know, whatever it is, take a moment and write it down, because God is inviting us to give it to Him. Now, hear me, church. Whatever it is you're holding on to that isn't Jesus needs to be on this card. And as we sing that song, as we sing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, you know, come and give it away. Come and put it in the basket here before the altar. you know, in a sense, drop it at the foot of the cross. Ask Jesus to fill that void with the Holy Spirit. Ask God to fill you with a trust and assurance, knowing that you have Jesus. And so as you drop your card in there, you know, there's stones directly behind it in the next basket. You know, take that stone. And take that stone of remembrance, that Ebenezer stone, to remind yourself that you have given away what you are looking at that isn't Jesus. And what you're going to cling to is the rock of Christ. Okay, let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for those moments in our lives when you call us to look to you. Lord, to pause in the busyness of life, to recognize that so often we get caught up looking at other things. And so, Lord, we do ask for your forgiveness. Lord, we look to you. And Jesus, you are our all in all. You are our hope. You alone, Jesus, is what is going to satisfy. You alone is what's going to give us hope. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for loving us. It's in your name, Savior, we pray. Amen. So take your card. You can write something on it. And while we sing, come and bring it up.